Having the right tools can make all the difference in the world in getting a project done, maybe well, maybe efficiently, maybe quicker. Having the right tools is really, really helpful. In rural settings, we've often said things get held together with bubble gum and baling wire, you know, but having the right tools is very, very helpful. When you go to see your doctor or dentist, you want them to have the right tools, right? I remember years ago, and I know I'm dating myself, not that any of you think I'm young anyway, but many years ago, doing ranch work and being miles away from any kind of power source and just thinking, man, I wish I had a drill, or I wish I had, you know, some kind of power tool. And little did I know at that time that there would come a day when you could actually have all kinds of power, battery-operated things at your disposal. And what a difference that makes. Well, I say all that to say this. As a master architect, as a master builder, as a master everything, the Heavenly Father has been very, very concerned at making sure we have the right tools to do what He left us on this earth to do. Now, God has an agenda, and He never apologizes for having an agenda. He's got a work to be done. He's got a kingdom to build, and He wants us to be instrumental in that. He has planned that we would be. And so He has provided the tools necessary to get the work done. At the heart of that are, I think, what we read in Scripture as spiritual gifts. And He has been faithful to equip His people with those spiritual gifts, those abilities needed to do His work, to make sure it all gets done. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look at some of this equipment, some of the tools that God has left for us, made available to us, equipped us with as we go forward to do His work. I hope and I pray that there is some clarity maybe given regarding these different things that He has entrusted to His people. I would want more than that maybe to be some motivation that I need to engage, that I need to get busy, that I need to use what God has given me for His glory. And just to provide some understanding of what God has for us. This morning, we're going to be looking just kind of an introduction to this whole several-week series. And the idea of spiritual gifts is talked about several times in the New Testament. One of the most prominent passages is in 1 Corinthians. And this morning, I'm going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as Paul provides us with some really key instruction regarding this whole matter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the chapter starts like this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And so Paul was concerned that his readers understood, had all the information necessary, but not just for information's sake, but to be able to equip them and motivate them to do God's work. Let's pray before we go any further in this. Lord Jesus, I ask You to just comprehend a little bit more what it is that You have for us, that some of, I don't know if there's mystery in this or just a lack of information sometimes that keeps us from engaging, but I pray that You would help us to understand what it is that You've given us the privilege of doing. And then over the next few weeks, as you give us the opportunity, Lord, that we would also see clarity about us specifically and individually, the things that you've prepared for us to do. And so I surrender this time to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to look at this in three sections. I want to look at the what, I want to look at the how, and I want to look at the why. And again, the Apostle Paul gave us a lot of instruction here in 1 Corinthians 12. This is the most detailed instruction that there is in all of the New Testament. So as we think about the what, just several observations that we can glean from this chapter on what it is we're talking about. First of all, and this may seem, well, yeah, that's kind of obvious, they are spiritual. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. They are spiritual gifts. Sometimes we tend to think of them as natural abilities, natural inclinations that we have. Sometimes even giving God the credit, if someone has a musical gift, they say a God-given talent. These are not just talents, even though they are God-given. These are divinely appointed abilities that God has entrusted his people with. When you invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior, there are dozens of miraculous and remarkable things that took place simultaneously. And one of those is that he, as an act of his will, divinely enabled you to do something. Maybe several something. Some of these things overlap. It's my prayer that through this time, you'll be able to pinpoint those just a little bit more. See more clearly what it is that God has for you specifically. But these are not just natural abilities. These are not just inclinations that you might normally have, some talent. This is something that was given to you at the moment of your spiritual birth, enabled by God the Holy Spirit specifically to do a task of some sort. So that's the first thing. They are spiritual, not just natural abilities. They were given to you directly by God. A second thing to observe about these is that they are exclusively for believers in Jesus. Exclusively. A person who is yet to know Christ does not have these same kinds of God-given abilities. They came to you, again, at the moment of your spiritual birth. Verse 2 goes on, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit." Now, the casual look at this, it looks like Paul just kind of stepped away from his topic and said, "What are you even talking about here?" But his point is making this clear distinction between people who know Jesus and people who are yet to know him. There is a distinct difference. A person who is yet to know Jesus cannot respond to him in this way, can't really call him Lord here, he says. That is an ability given to us by God the Holy Spirit. And a person who knows Jesus and has tasted his goodness doesn't have that ability then call him accursed, to pronounce a judgment on him in that way. The point is there's a distinct difference between people who know Jesus and those who do not. And as he goes into this discussion, this is the point, that the gifts that he's going to be talking about here are exclusively for believers in Jesus. The third thing for us to notice is that they are gifted and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that all of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all involved in this, but this was primarily a task appointed to God the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All right, the manifestation of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live in you at the moment that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. But then he shows that he is present in you by doing significant things. We read about some of them in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, some of those things. But these giftings that we're talking about here, those become evidence that you have God the Holy Spirit living in you, empowering you, helping you, directing you, instructing you. They're gifted and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says the same thing. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he will. Empowered by one and the same Spirit. He's the one that empowers. He is the one that apportions to each one individually as his will. So this has been a ministry of God the Holy Spirit giving to you an ability, a divine ability to do something for him. And then I want us to observe that they are given to every child of God without exception. They're given to every child of God. Verse 7 again, to each is given this manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11, second part of that, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. There are times that we're reading through the scriptures, it's helpful to insert our name to help us apply that. John 3:16 is one of these things, you know, God so loved you, put your name there. Well, this is a place that I think God would have you put your name here. He has given to each one individually, each one. Put your name there. If you know Jesus as Savior, put your name there. Well, what we like to say, some of us, or think at least, I really can't do anything. That's not true. If that is true, that means, first of all, you don't know Jesus as Savior yet. So you can take care of that problem right now. In the quietness of your own mind and heart, you can reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I trust you, I choose you, I need you, I want to be your child. That takes care of that problem. And then he has then enabled you to do something for him, something miraculous, something divine. The other option here is if we're saying, as a child of God, I can't do anything, we're really saying, God, you're a liar. Now, I want to be gentle here, but firm. That's what we're saying, because he just said it. I gave to each one individually. There are no exceptions. You are not that one rare, unique child of God who somehow got left out when the Holy Spirit was giving gifts out. This is his statement. I have given to each one individually, according to my will, I have entrusted with you the ability to do things for me. And so this is critical to our understanding. You have not been left out. You were not excluded. God has given to you something in order to be of service to him. Now, the how to all this, how do we see this develop? I want to point you to verses 4 through 6 here in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. All right, so this is what he's saying. There are varieties of gifts. And as we look at the different passages that we see in the New Testament, we see several different listings. And I'm not personally convinced that he wants us to get all that wrapped up in all these individuals. He maybe didn't even mention all the things that he enables us to do. But he has given us several listings of spiritual gifts. And people will argue about how many actually. Well, some say, well, that's a gift. And some say, no, that's not a gift. But there's somewhere around 20 that are mentioned and re-mentioned in the scriptures that are spiritual gifts. In this passage, he mentions 12 or so, just as he's talking about it. In Romans, he mentions some others. In Ephesians, he mentions some others still. Peter talks about them as well. So there's no one absolute listing anywhere, but we see them referred to several times. There are a variety of different kinds of spiritual gifts that he apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, there are those gifts that kind of rise to the top as being service-oriented, ministry-oriented. And those are the ones that get repeated throughout the New Testament. There are gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians that are never mentioned again. 1 Corinthians was written first. Romans was written about 4 years later. It's a different set. Ephesians came later. Peter came later. And there are certain gifts that are not repeated. We've sometimes divided these gifts into categories just for understanding. There are service gifts, those that are really hands-on ministry-oriented. There are speaking gifts that are mentioned. And then there are some spectacular gifts, like sign gifts. We see those, the ability to speak in other languages, the ability to do miracles and healings and those kinds of things that we see mentioned here. And those are not repeated as you go through the New Testament. Rather, those gifts that are body-oriented, that are service-oriented, those are the ones that continue to rise to the top. And so that's what we're going to be primarily looking at. I'm primarily going to confine our time to the list in Romans chapter 12. Those are the only ones that come with kind of an instruction. There's a line of instruction that come with all those different gifts, and you don't see that anywhere else. So that's what we're primarily going to be looking. I may add one or two more. I don't know yet how this is all going to shape out, but primarily Romans chapter 12. But there are a variety of spiritual gifts that God has given according to his will to each child of God. Then he says in verse 5, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are variety of ways that those gifts are going to get used. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same interests. And so the gifts that he gives are going to then be displayed in different ways. There are people teaching, who have the gift of teaching. They might choose that as a vocation. Others are going to use their gift of teaching in other ways. They might get involved in a daycare. They might get involved in some other kind of setting. In a church setting, some people may love preschoolers, and that's how they use their gift of teaching. Others, the very thought of preschoolers makes them break into a cold sweat, and they run from that. But they might like high schoolers and want to use their teaching there. Others would love to gather a small group of people, women, men, maybe couples. Others are very good at teaching, but it's one-on-one. Lots of different ways that these gifts are going to get used. A variety of ways that those gifts get used. You've got a gift of serving. Maybe you like to bake, and some person is going to use that gift of serving by baking a loaf of bread and dropping it off, or cookies, or whatever. You might have a gift. Be good at decorating. You want to show your service in helping someone decorate, or you're mechanically minded, and you like helping people figure out what's wrong with their wash machine, or their vehicle, or whatever, or carpentry, or, you know, whatever. These gifts get used a whole bunch of different ways. That's God's plan. And then he says in verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So there are a variety of results that we're going to see from using those gifts. We're not all the same. We're not all going to see the same kinds of things happen when we're using our spiritual gifts. And it's not a contest. It's not a competition. It's not about the results. That's all up to God. Few would question that Billy Graham had a gift of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that people would hear and respond. And he would see thousands of people at one time come to faith in Christ. Others might share faithfully, several times a week, just dropping seeds, and may never see anyone actually come to faith in Christ. Some of these are kinds of things that you invest, and it might be years down the road when somebody comes back to you and you were my teacher. You'll never know what a difference you made in my life. You know, just varieties of results that we're going to see. And again, they are not for us to work for the results. They're not for us to try to manufacture results. It says here, God is the one that empowers it in everyone. Now, Paul himself said, some plant, some water, it's God that gives the increase. And so we focus on that. We just stay faithful. And God will bring whatever kinds of results that he wants. I knew an evangelist many years ago was fond of saying, we are in presentation, not sales. And that is so true. Just do. Just do what it is that God has called you to do. You don't have to make things happen. That's up to him. Just do what he's called you to do and leave the results to him. So there are a variety of spiritual gifts. There are a variety of ways those gifts get used. And there are a variety of results from using those gifts. Two of you will be gifted in some particular way. You're going to see different things come as a result of using those gifts. Now, the why to all of this that we want to think about is kind of trying to bring it to a head here, bring it to a point. And it's not stated in these verses, but it's there in everything we do. It's for the glory of God. You know, Paul says to these very same Corinthians, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you're doing, do it for the glory of God. It's for his glory that they are given. It's for his glory that they're used. He's never, ever more pleased than when he sees his people just stepping up and doing something, whatever it is. Doing something so that his name can be elevated, so that people can recognize how great he is. They're given for the glory of God. But the things that we do see in this passage, they're given to benefit the body of Christ. We go back to verse 7, which we looked at several times already. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. These aren't to be hoarded. They're not to be hid. You're not gifted with some kind of serving gift to make your life easier at home. It's for the common good. Anything that I might be gifted with should, first of all, bless my family, and it should bless the people that I come in contact with here or out in the community or whatever. They are given to benefit the body of Christ. Now, in this passage, he uses the illustration of the human body. And in this, he talks about the head, he talks about the eyes, he talks about the nose, the ears, the feet, the hands, and how they all need to work together. Later, as Paul talks to the Ephesians about this kind of thing, he goes deeper, talking about bones and joints and marrow and tendons and muscles, all the things that make the body function. And he says this as the chapter begins to come to a close. Verse 25, he says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's for the body. So if you shut your finger in a door, the rest of your body doesn't stand back and say, that was the dumbest thing you ever could have done. What are you hurting for, you little whiny, weeny thing? We don't do that. The whole body reacts. You shut your finger in something, your whole body hurts. Your whole body reacts. And the same is true otherwise. When something good happens, we celebrate. And he broadens that to say, this is the body of Christ. This is the way we're to function. This is what it's about. We have these gifts, and we're to serve each other, and we're to see God glorified, and we're to see his kingdom grow. And it's for his good, and we all celebrate that. They're given to benefit the body of Christ. Now, it seems a little odd just even to say this, but some gifts may be more beneficial than others. Paul even kind of puts an order to it in the sense of, he says in verse 27, you're the body of Christ, individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, various kinds of tongues. And he says, are all apostles? Obviously, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. We're not the same, but he's given some of these gifts that are going to continue to serve and help the body more so than some of the others, even some of the showier ones. And I already said, as the New Testament unfolds, some of these gifts are never mentioned again. And it seems really, really clear in the first century when God was doing something new, he gave some of these spectacular gifts to help people say, boy, there is something happening here. But some of those showier ones, more spectacular ones, again, we don't hear from them again in the New Testament. So there are those that are specially service-oriented, beneficial. Again, those are the ones that we're going to be focusing on. And we can see this, the why of gifts, they're to be used in love to build others up. Verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. It's because God has loved and because of the love that he's given me that I want to use these things to help other people. And he lists some of these things, some of them that are very showy and spectacular. He says if it's not being done in love, you really lost the whole point. They're there to build each other up. They're there to be used in love. It's never about people saying, wow, you're so great. It's never about somebody patting us on the back and saying, that was just so awesome. It's never about that personal recognition. It's all for the glory of God. It's all to build other people up. So a little bit here, the how, the what, the why. As Paul said at the beginning of this chapter, I do not want you to be uninformed. And so this is kind of the purpose for this series, that no one is uninformed, that no one could walk away saying, I didn't know. I want us to understand, I'm praying that God would help us understand that he has equipped us to help his kingdom expand and to see his family flourish. At the end of the time, we're going to make some spiritual gifts inventories available that you can take home, read through, answer some questions. It might help you pinpoint a little bit more how specifically God has gifted you. But more important than that, whether you never, ever say, I know exactly what my spiritual gift is, most important of all is that we would make ourselves available. Just make ourselves available, and God will use us. So my question is, whether you think it or whether you actually say it, would you be willing to stop saying, oh, I can't? And start saying instead, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let's pray as we bow together, just a moment here. Willing to say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? And Lord, I hope that's the heart cry of well, all of us here. The many are willing to say, I know you now, you've gifted me. You have something for me. I'm ready to find out what that is and begin using it. So that the Lord Jesus Christ can be glorified in his church. It's to that end that we live and move, have our very existence. And so I pray this in your precious and powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.